All right, so we're going to be in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. It's unusually warm up here. Maybe that's me. Psalm 139. Sure, please. Okay, cool. Not separating. Sounds great. There you go. We'll have a good time anyway, and it'll be a blast. And I do want to say welcome to Donna. I'm not going to embarrass you, but yeah. Appreciate you visiting, and good to see you. Amen. Amen. Okay. Psalm 139, 13 through 17. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, as always, for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for us being able to meet in America, free country, where we don't have to worry about somebody kicking the doors down and shutting us down. Lord, we don't want to ever take that for granted. Thank you for our free country. We pray from our leaders, from the president right on down to the local city councilman. And we pray for our leaders for our country. Lord, we pray for our missionaries and our military around the country doing what they do. Lord, we just take a minute and pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. We pray for healing, for wisdom, for guidance, whatever they need, Father, you should meet their need. We pray for David and Dawana's sister-in-law. Sorry. God don't mind a hiccup, right? Sister-in-law. We pray for her. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just pray for this service. And help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I forgot. I'm a little distracted this morning. But, Psalm 139, 13 through 17. So let's read. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts. God, how vast is the sum of them." Everybody said amen? Amen. I want to talk to you today about the real you. The real you. On the inside of every one of us believers is a sinner saved by God's grace. In this salvation experience, we are adopted into the family of God. This makes us children of God. We are blessed people. We are empowered by His Holy Spirit. We are a chosen generation. The Bible says you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. This word fearfully in the original language means to stand in awe and respect. Think about this. When God created you, He stood back and looked at you in awe. In other words, He was glad he made you. He was proud of what he created. He loved you. He calls you a masterpiece. When he created you originally in your mother's womb, he looked at you and said, "This is good. This is good." Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. In this verse, he's talking about everything that he created, and he's talking about you, mankind that he created. It says this, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God did not poorly make anyone. You were not a mistake. God does not create junk. He did not say, in other words, he did not say, "Oh, I didn't do very good with that one. That one's going to have all kinds of problems in life. That one's probably going to be angry, insecure, jealous, impatient their whole life. Sorry, just didn't give my best on that one." I'm taking my time here because I really, really know without a shadow of a doubt, this message is for a few of you. It's for all of us, but there's a few of you who really need to hear this message because it's the truth. You see that we are exceptionally made. You are one of a kind. There is no one on this planet just like you. However, Adam and Eve did sin. Sin came into the world, and the Bible tells us that now we're born into sin. And then, this is what happens, we go through life sinning. We make mistakes, we develop bad habits, people do us wrong, and we end up with shame and guilt. Just like Adam and Eve, they were full of shame and guilt. That's why they tried to clothe themselves. Then we develop all these negative qualities that in the counseling world we call self-destructive character traits. Now we don't feel like a masterpiece. We feel condemned and not valuable. That's how it ends up. We may say things like this to ourselves: "How can I be successful? How can I have freedom? How can I have victory? Look how I was raised. Look what happened to me. Look what I did." You may say, "I'm struggling with a bad habit. I'm not very talented. I don't have a good personality. I'm not as pretty as..." But inside, underneath all that insecurity, all those bad breaks and failures, there's the real you. There's the real you, the one that God created. Now, sin tries to kill us. It tried to. It tried to eternally separate us from God, our Heavenly Father. But oh, there come a day. There come a day when Jesus calls us into the family. And we, by faith, we accept this gift of salvation, we call it, eternal life. And then the real you is born again. The real you, the blessed you, the happy you, the forgiving you, the confident you, the loving you, the victorious you. And here's the cool thing. The beauty of God is that He never loses the vision that He has for you. He still remembers, oh man, listen to this. He still remembers the moment He created you. Let that sink in. He's our Heavenly Father. He loved you. He remembers the moment that He created you. Now, despite your flaws, your weaknesses, your hurts, your disappointments, He still sees the masterpiece. He still knows who you really are. God loves us too much to leave us like that. He's going to keep working on us, keep making us, keep molding us until the real you is free. God specializes in removing everything that's not the real you. You may say, well, Dallas, I've always struggled with this problem. This has always been me. I've had this issue since high school or a young adult. This is just the way I am. No. No, that is not the real you. That's something the enemy put on you to try to keep the real you from ever coming out and experiencing freedom and liberty. You see, the real you, the born again you, the washed in the blood of the Lamb you, the redeemed you, is free. The real you is whole. The real you is confident and victorious. Now you may have gone through some bad breaks. Someone maybe walked out on you. You weren't raised in a good environment. Maybe someone hurt you deeply. It's easy to carry those hurts. Let it limit your vision, carry around the shame, and go around feeling unworthy that you don't deserve to be blessed. Maybe we buy in the lie that we don't deserve to meet a good man. Maybe you're thinking, I don't deserve to meet a good woman. Don't believe those lies. Don't believe those lies. The enemy would love for you to live discouraged, with no passion, thinking that you don't have a future because of maybe what happened to you or what you did in the past. So one of my favorite Bible verses is it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. The old Dallas died on the cross with Jesus. The old Dallas don't even exist anymore. Seriously. The real you, the born again you, the washed in the blood of the Lamb, you is still inside you. Still inside. What people did not kill the real you. What wasn't fair didn't change who God created you to be. You see, God's really in the process of removing everything that's not the real you. Well, I'm just hot-tempered. I've always been that way. My father was hot-tempered. My grandfather was hot-tempered. No, that's not the real you. That's not who God created. They may be that way right now, or maybe in the past, but you have an opportunity now to break that cycle. To cancel that curse that maybe was passing down from generation to generation. The Bible says that Jesus became the curse for us to break that in our generation. You see, the real you is calm, cool, and collected. The real you is peaceful and loving and kind. Listen closely. The real you will allow the Holy Spirit to produce the right fruit at the right time in your life. Don't believe those lies that you can't change. God is removing everything that's not the real you. Everybody listen. He loves you too much to leave you alone. He's going to keep working on you until he sees the masterpiece who he created you to be. In the early 1500s, most of you know the story. In the early 1500s, a young artist named Michelangelo had a dream to sculpture King David out of a huge piece of marble. It was 12,000 pounds of block. It stood over 20 feet tall. He worked tirelessly for 2 years, chiseling and chiseling and shaping with great precision and great detail, and he finally finished. He revealed this 14-foot tall marble image of David. It was magnificent. So beautiful. It was inspiring. Someone asked Michelangelo, "How did you do that? Just out of that big piece of rock, how did you do that?" Michelangelo said, "I had a vision in my mind of King David, and I just kept removing everything that wasn't him." That is the way God is. I believe that. He knows who we really are, and he can see the masterpiece in the rock. Throughout life, he'll keep removing things that are not who we are. The impatience, the insecurities, the unworthiness, the tempers, easily agitated and frustrated. Sometimes we'll say, if we're not catching ourselves, some people will say, "Well, I'm not valuable. Look at what I've been through." Chisel, chisel. That's not who you are. The pride, the arrogance, the boasting. Chisel, chisel. That doesn't belong on you. The unforgiveness, the resentments. "They hurt me, but you don't understand. They did me wrong." Chisel, chisel, chisel. That resentment is not a part of the real you. "I'll never do anything great in my life. Nobody in my family has ever been successful or even went to college. I'm not that talented. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough." Chisel, chisel, chisel. God is working on us. That limited mindset does not belong in the real you. The good news is we have someone greater, far greater than Michelangelo working on us. We have God Almighty, the creator of everything, the architect of all ages. He He's the creator of spectacular solar systems, magnificent mountain ranges, and beautiful, breathtaking sunsets all around the world. That's the artist that's working on you and me. He's chiseling away at everything that is not the real you. You see, He can see things in us that we can't see. He can see things in us that others can't see. Listen to this. So often we let our circumstances determine who we are. How people treat us determine our value. How we perform determine our worth. What someone said determine our self-image. This is wrong. This is the lies of the enemy. You see, God looks way beyond all that. Praise the Lord. Like the Bible, and talking about David. You see, God sees the giant killer in the shepherd boy. Like Gideon, He sees a mighty hero in a man that's hiding, intimidated, and afraid. Like Rahab, God sees a respectable, honored woman that's in the family line of Jesus in a former prostitute. God knows what's inside of you. He knows. He created you. You may have made some mistakes, done some things you're not proud of. All of us have done that. Me, you, we've all done things that we're not proud of. God sees the redeemed you. He sees the restored you. He sees you through the filter of the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed down that old rugged cross. You may be intimidated, insecure, thinking you're not that talented. You see, God sees the giant killer. God sees the history maker in you. Well, maybe life has thrown you some curves. You've been hurt, abandoned, betrayed. God sees the valuable you. He sees the blessed you. He sees the favored you. He sees you. He sees you through the cleansing blood of the Lamb. Please don't forget that. Nothing that's happened to you has changed the real you. God looks beyond our mistakes, our flaws, our bad breaks, our hurts, and He sees who He created you to be. He has not lost His vision for who He created you to be. Now, the good news is He still has the chisel. That's good news. He still has a chisel. He still knows what to remove so that the best you will come out. Now, I'll speak for myself here, but sometimes when God chisels, it's uncomfortable. We don't like it. Amen? Trust God, it's a spiritual opportunity for growth. Sometimes God will remove things that we don't even understand. He'll come into our lives and chisel away and remove friends. Friends that we really don't need. Friends that may be pulling us down. Friends that may be causing us to compromise. Don't fight the chisel. Don't fight the chisel. God knows what He's doing. He won't use the chisel on us unless it's going to make us better. Amen? It may hurt your feelings. How many feelings got hurt before? After you thought about it, the dust cleared, you said to yourself, that was right. Yep. I kind of needed that one. It's going to be uncomfortable. But God knows what He is doing. Work with God. Be willing to change. Allow Him to work on you. You don't have to be perfect, right? We don't have to be perfect, but we should be willing to grow and let God work on us. Now, a few more minutes. In the Michelangelo story, 50 years earlier, two of the most famous artists of that time turned down the opportunity to work on that stone. Why? Because they felt like it had too many defects. There's too many things wrong with it. Too many blemishes. So, yet, 50 years later, a young artist, Michelangelo, came along and he saw the same block of marble, the same defects, the same flaws, but he looked way beyond the imperfections. He said, I see a masterpiece in this rock. I see King David in this marble. It's not that God doesn't see our flaws, but He knows how to remove the flaws if we're willing to allow Him. He knows how to make you and mold you where the best you is revealed. Quit believing. Quit believing the lies that you have made too many mistakes. It's too late for you. You're too far off course. Don't believe those lies. Stop seeing yourself as the failed you, the broken you, the guilty you, the disadvantaged you. No. Nothing you have done has stopped your destiny that God set before you. Nothing has stopped God's unconditional love for you. The mercy of God is bigger than any mistake that we have made. The good news is our sculptor is God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. Amen. He does not lose His vision He has for the real you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Rest in His grace and mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. Thank You for this message. Lord, as I say always, Your word is inspiring, encouraging, and it corrects us when we need to be corrected. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if there's someone here this morning, they've never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Father, as Danny plays, I just ask, if you'd like to give your life to Christ, if you'd like to settle that this morning, Father, I pray that I'd make that decision today. I'm going to come down up front. Danny's going to play for a little bit. And if you'd like to give your life to Christ, I'd ask you to come down and I'd be glad to pray with you. If you're a believer, I'd ask you pray for this time when maybe someone's trying to make a decision. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, come down and see me.